More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, 911. Facing a challenge or challenges in your life or relationships that you're just not sure what to do about? We've got the faithful, practical solutions you're seeking. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, 911. We are the people to call if you are facing a challenge or challenges in your life or relationships that you're just not sure how to handle. We've got the faithful, practical solutions you are seeking. Let's work it out together today on More to Life. The number is 877-573-7825. Join the conversation and let's find those answers that God has in His heart for you.
And He does have those answers in His heart for you. Often, though, we freak out so much when we're facing a problem, especially if it's one that's come upon us fairly suddenly, or one we've been dreading for a really long time, and there it is. And all that anxiousness, all those thoughts of how do I solve this? How do I make this work? What should I do? It blocks out a lot of our ability to hear the Holy Spirit, to receive God's peace in a way that then allows us to receive His guidance. You know, there's a part of our road when we drive down the road that has this big
wall. Like our literal road, you mean?
Our literal road, ours, yeah, that has a big wall. It's a big retaining cement wall. And as soon as you go past this wall, you cannot get any radio activity, not AM, not FM, not Sirius, not anything, nothing. It's just dead silence through this wall. And as I'm talking about how we have a tendency to sort of flood when we have to face a new challenge, when we get scared or confused by something, I feel like it's that, well, nothing can get through that noise in our hearts and our minds when we start to try to figure it all out on our own and what to do. But there are ways to settle that, ways to get more connected with God and His Holy Spirit, and ways to personally start walking in that grace in very practical ways that help you problem solve, face that challenge, and make a difference in your life. Now, if that sounds like it may help you out today, we invite you to call us and let us tailor those answers to your specific situation at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Call up and share, are you facing a problem in your personal life or your relationships that you're just not sure what to do about? Maybe you're trying to figure out the best way to respond to a particular challenge, but you feel torn or confused about the next steps. Maybe you're afraid to make the wrong choice and you're worried about making things worse. Or perhaps you feel genuinely confused about what God's asking you to do in a difficult situation or a choice that you have to make. We want to help you get the clarity and strength you need to confidently and gracefully overcome all those challenges.
Or perhaps somebody you know is going through a challenge like that and they're confused and they're maybe coming to you saying, well, you're a person of faith, what should I do? Or you're seeing them struggle and you don't know how to help them. We can end up getting just as blindsided by other people's concerns and problems as sometimes we can our own, because we have a loving heart, because we want to take care of them, because we want to serve God in that situation. And if you're not sure how to help those people or how to handle what you're going through in the midst of their situation, Well, that counts too. 877-573-7825.
And I got to say, you know, the principles we're going to share with you today are principles that I use every day, because in the counseling work that I do through mm-hmm. CatholicCounselors.com, people are constantly bringing really challenging situations to me and you know, saying, so, Dr. Greg, what do we do about this? Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't know what we do about this. I mean, if I'm completely honest with you. But the good news is, by using the principles that we're going to share with you today, we're able to step back and really think through it together and identify really solid answers that help us live in God's grace and have the confidence and clarity that we need to move forward. And so this, I know from personal experience that these things work.
Yes, and I want to say, when you say, I don't really know, of course you don't, because you're not able to assess what God is asking that person or that couple to do in that situation until you start walking that path and helping them use the tools that help both them and you discern with together what should be their next step in God's path for them. And we can help you with that today as well. Give us a call on More to Life at 877-573-7825.
And every day on More to Life, of course, we look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And, you know, you might be wondering, reasonably enough, what could some theology have to do with helping me get clarity about the decisions that I have to make or the problems that I'm facing? And it turns out it can actually help quite a lot, because St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked a huge question. He said, you know, if we took everything that God's given us, creation, scripture, salvation history, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthy, holy relationships? And his answer to that question became what people now call the theology of the body.
You know, when we were going through a hard time, the theology of the body helped us and can help all of us remember that it's not just the complexity of the problem that makes us feel so stuck. It's our reaction to not knowing the answer. When we're facing a problem that we don't know how to solve, most of us panic. We tell ourselves not only do we want to know what to do now, but that we'll never figure it out. And the moment we go there, our bodies go into threat mode. Adrenaline and cortisol flood our systems. Our thinking brain just goes offline. And suddenly we feel genuinely powerless and overwhelmed. And that's a terrible feeling.
It is. But that's why the theology of the body emphasizes the importance of receptivity. And that's the capacity to stay connected to God's grace in the moment and remain open to what the Holy Spirit is saying about how we should respond to the challenges we face. Think of it like a spiritual Wi-Fi extender, right? That keeps the Holy Spirit's signal strong in every part of your life, wherever you go. Well, how do we do that? Well, instead of running around trying to fix everything ourselves, we need to turn inward, to calm our bodies down, to quiet the noise, and prayerfully call to mind all the times God has come through for us before. We praise him for his faithfulness, even if we're not feeling like it, and then we ask for the grace to not just survive this challenge, but respond to it in a way that allows God to bring genuine good out of it.
That's actually what St. Paul means in Colossians 1:24 when he talks about joining our sufferings to Christ. He's not saying, grit your teeth and bear it. He's saying, walk your way of the cross, not just to Golgotha, but to the resurrection that comes after.
And, you know, if we can take that approach to the problems we face in our life, we're not only able to celebrate the deliverance that God has in his heart for us, but also we're able to show the world the amazing things that we can do when we're walking in God's grace. And that's how he wants us to respond to those challenges. Not in just ways that allow us to survive the challenges, but in ways that really give him glory and bear witness to the power of his grace in our lives.
And I just, when I deal with this situation, either professionally in this venue that we're in now, or in my own life, often we can condemn ourselves for feeling this anxiety, this difficulty, we feel like, oh, well, if we can't feel God, we must be failing. We must be failing him, making him unhappy. Those are desolations from Satan. And I think we need to look at Scripture and really see, you know, when Judas betrayed Christ and was hit with the reality of that. He ended his own life. He gave himself no grace to move forward. When Peter denied Christ three times, he kept going, and then he was able to receive the forgiveness and the healing of Christ and be given a great mission as the rock upon which our church was built, our very first pope. And St. Joseph thought he was doing the right thing when he was going to quietly divorce Mary. But he stayed open to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gave him another way. So God's not asking us to be perfect. God's asking us to try to be open to him, his message, his way for us, and have that docility of heart and mind that allows us to hear him and move on his path with him.
Well, that all sounds great in theory, but how do we apply it to your challenges? Well, give us a call. Let's work it out together. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord, we bring to you all those challenges that we're not quite sure what to do about, those difficulties in our life, our relationships, where we genuinely feel torn or maybe a little overwhelmed, a little afraid to make the wrong choice. We bring them all to you right now, and we ask you to help us to know how to respond to these difficulties in ways that don't just get us through them, but enable us to respond to them proactively so that we can cooperate with your grace and bring real good out of them. Show us how to not just walk our way of the cross, but to walk it all the way to the resurrection so that we can experience the deliverance that you have in your heart for us and can bear witness to the power of your grace working in our lives. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled 911, as we talk about the different challenges that we're facing that we're not necessarily sure what to do about, maybe have us feeling a little stuck, a little overwhelmed. We've got the faithful, practical solutions you are seeking. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk with Marina now, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi, Marina. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
Thank you so much. So, you know, you guys are talking about issues, and recently I had a checkup. I had breast cancer back in 2021, and everything's been going smoothly, have been cancer-free, and coming up on my fifth year this year, was looking forward to this being kind of a quiet year in the medical world. But my recent mammogram came back with some concern. And so now they're asking that I go in, for a biopsy in a few weeks. And so your mind just automatically goes to the worst.
Sure.
I'm just struggling with that a little bit because I know, like, I need to just not think the worst and just, you know, they're being cautious because of my medical history. And just, you know, I've been better about it, but it's still a little overwhelming and consuming and you know, thinking about it. So,
well, and of course it is, right? I mean, this is a very serious issue, and of course it's going to grab your attention and make you kind of think a lot about it. But I have a couple of thoughts for you. But the one question I have. You said that you're doing a little bit better with it. Are there certain days where it's easier to kind of deal with the stress and the anxiety about this? And what's different on
for
those
sure.
days?
I mean, you know, this was last Friday when I had additional, ultrasounds and things and met with a radiologist. And you know, she said, oh, well, you know, we're pretty strict here and we want to just move forward and go ahead and do a biopsy. So that kind of just takes your breath away right there because it's sort of, you know, that PTSD from having those things done, you know, 5 years ago, just kind of comes all back. And so then, you know, the dust settles and, you know, this last week it's been good. And, you know, I'm just like, I pray about it and, you know, I'm like, okay, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean anything. It's back or anything is bad. It's just, we're just being cautious. And so, you know, it's just the moments where you're kind of not busy and you're like, oh, it hits you like, oh, I have to go and have that done in a few weeks,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, Satan loves to crawl into our thoughts just in that way, yeah.
And that's what I try to really focus on, you know, that's kind of been my Lenten journey this year is just, you know, not letting those negative thoughts, because it's not coming from a good place. And saying, you know, you're not going to take my peace and my joy away today. I can't do anything about it. So I have to, you know, there's nothing I can do until I find out what's going on. And even then, you know, it's still not in my hands.
I appreciate that you're saying that. Yes, and we're all very controlling.
You've got
of
a
that
lot
kind
of good things going on.
But let me ask you this: you seem like you're really walking the path and doing it intentionally, spiritually. Where are you with your daily prayer life with God? How honest are you able to be with Him and just pour out your heart and say, you know, I want to do this well, but I'm terrified because I don't want any of this to happen again, and I don't want that worst possible scenario. Can you just pour out your heart to God, or are you trying to kind of still stay in control and keep it together with Him?
No, I mean, there's times, like, I'll be, you know, by myself or in the shower, and I do that, you know. I'm just like, this is so hard. Please just, you know, be with me. I guess I could be a little more honest, like you said, you know, having that control is hard to let go of. And
yeah.
I just need to do that more.
Okay. So there are several suggestions, and that's actually one of them. Is we've all got to really be honest with where we're at with God, because, you know, even if that's we're angry or we're terrified or whatever it is, just really giving voice to those feelings and being honest with Him about where we're at, so that that cracks open our hearts to allow the grace in.
It not only cracks open our hearts to let the grace in, but it really allows us to let out those negative thoughts in a way that, you know, think about if you were ever with a little kid or you were a little kid and you were able to just cry something out on, you know, a beloved parent's shoulder, right? Doing that really helps us to release that control to God and receive His comfort and His grace. And as parents, right, we want that full honesty from our children. Humanly, we can't really help them unless they tell us everything. God can help us no matter what, but He only goes where He's truly invited. So pouring out your heart to God really honestly in detail can really begin to let the grace flow more and calm those thoughts that you're talking about.
Well, and even from a psychological standpoint, when we speak those thoughts out loud or we write them out, mm-hmm. what happens is we hear them or we read them with a different part of our brain than we use when they're already in our head. So when we hear ourselves speak the thoughts out loud, or we read the thoughts we wrote in a journal, we kind of, they have to go back through our editor that decides whether to let something in or not. And it's easier for us to say, you know, that's kind of messed up. That's not really, I mean, that's how I feel, but that's not true, right? But if those thoughts are just in our head, our brain just sort of assumes that they're true because they made it past the gatekeeper already. So really, on a spiritual level, speaking those thoughts out loud to God and really being honest with Him about the fear or the anger or the whatever else that we're having allows the grace into our hearts and allows us to be more vulnerable with Him. And psychologically, it enables us to be more selective about whether we let those thoughts stay. The other thing I'd like you to do, Marina, is I'd like you to actually go back through the journey that you had 5 years ago and how God walked with you through all of that. I want you to be able to really remind yourself of what you went through then, you know, the times that you were terrified, the ways that God brought you through that, how He carried you through, with an eye toward however this turns out, you know that God is with you and that you've walked this path before.
You're looking for that evidence of His presence.
And I want you to praise Him for those things. Actually, this is what St. Paul calls a sacrifice of praise, that you're not going to feel like praising Him for it. But by doing that, it actually helps you turn off the anxious parts of your brain, because it's hard for the brain to be anxious and grateful at the same time. And so as you're praising God, you know, Lord, I want to thank you for getting me through that time when I was sure that this was the end, or when I found out the first time that I had breast cancer and you carried me through that. And when this thing happened and you brought me through that, it's your own sort of personal salvation history story that you're going to praise God for every step of the way on that and really remind yourself of the road that you walked, how you walked it, and how you can use those resources moving forward. I think those two things are going to be really helpful for you. If there's more we can do for you as you're going through this, don't hesitate to reach out to us here or through CatholicCounselors.com. But we are adding you to our More to Life prayer list, and we ask that St. Peregrine would continue to pray for you, and we will ask all of our listeners to pray for you as well. And please do keep us posted, Marina. We'd love to know what's going on and be able to walk this with you however we can. With that, we have to go to break, but when we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about dealing with the challenges that you're facing in your life and knowing how to respond to them in ways that are graceful and effective. 877-573-7825. We'll also be joined by Rachel Isaac, who works with CatholicCounselors.com, who'll be sharing some insights on how to keep our heads when things are going wrong all around us. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues in a minute.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Hello, friends. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers here. And I haven't been this excited about an up-and-coming speaker for a long time, Dr. Marcus Peter. Dr. Peter has the gift of combining deep theological insight, wisdom, and knowledge with personal testimony and story in a way that makes the power of the church's teaching and God's love felt deeply in the heart of all who hear him. If you are looking for someone for your next conference, parish mission, or event, look no further than Dr. Marcus Peter.
Visit MarcusBPeter.com to book Dr. Marcus Peter to speak at your event. At the Ave Maria website, you can continue the discussion and education through the Ave Maria Radio's links to social media. Ave Maria Radio has accounts on Facebook, X, TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and find the social media symbols at the top of your screen.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life 911, we're talking about those times when we're facing a challenge or challenges in our life or relationships we're just not sure how to handle. Let us help you find the faithful, practical solutions you are seeking. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Isaac. She is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com, where she also directs our faith-based program in performance excellence and works with Catholic athletes, performers, and executives and other folks who need to be their best under pressure. Rachel Isaac, welcome to More to Life.
It's great to be here.
So you wanted to talk a little bit about how we can be confident and even courageous in the face of uncertainty.
When we're facing a challenge and we don't know what to do, we often get stuck in the fear of how things will change if I take X action step or Y action step. We get stuck in the fear of uncertainty and the trap of the what ifs. So I really encourage people to not just let change and uncertainty happen to you, but instead be an active participant in the outcome of change. You can do this by asking, what can I make of this situation? Or praying, God, how can I work to bring good out of this situation? In this, we're focusing more on what I'm going to do rather than what's going to happen to me. These questions allow us to take courageous action steps towards a good we can bring from the challenging situation rather than just getting fixated on the problem itself. The second aspect of this, though, is that uncertainty often breeds just a great deal of what-ifs. And focusing on the what-if, again, it's much more of a passive response. And to combat that, make an effort to change those what-if questions to even-if statements. So instead of, what if this thing happens? Which just leaves us feeling vulnerable to due to that unanswered question. Think, even if this thing happens, which prompts our thinking brain to engage and finish the sentence with some type of solution or resolution, which allows us to feel more prepared or confident to handle the situation. Now we know that even if this thing happens, I'll still be okay, capable, safe, I'll have options. Changing from that what if to the even if prompts a more solution-focused thought process where we can begin to focus on how we're still capable and empowered as we navigate the challenge one step at a time.
I think that this is so important because when our brains start to whirl around with those, you know, scary negative thoughts, our bodies have a tendency to just lock up. You know, we know the things we should be doing that day to get our house in order or our bills paid or take care of our bodies or take care of our families. And we just kind of go, but I don't have the energy right now because our negative thoughts are sucking all the energy out of us. And if we can just take those few steps to say, okay, but this is what I have to do next. This is the next step I have to take. And even if this thing happens that I'm scared of, I can still do X, Y, and Z right now. And I'm going to proceed that way. It really changes what we feel capable of doing when we take those small steps, right?
Right. And it decreases that threat response. You know, it's that, what if this happens? It feels like that imminent threat. Even if this happens, I feel safer to be able to respond, not feel like that worst case scenario is already happening.
It's very helpful. Thank you, Rachel Isaac.
Appreciate the insights and the great tips. And if folks would like to learn more about Rachel's good work, you can come on over to CatholicCounselors.com and check out the Catholic Counselors Faith-Based Program in Performance Excellence for Catholic athletes, performers, executives, and other folks who need to be their best under pressure. When we come back, we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Back after this.
He was a pope, a saint, and a doctor of the church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
Pope St. Gregory I the Great is one of only four popes honored as the Great. Among his many achievements was sending missionaries across Northern Europe, especially St. Augustine of Canterbury, who brought Christ to the people of England. In a pun, Pope Gregory called the English people angels. He died in 604.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
The format of the Eucharistic celebration in the Catholic Church has remained virtually the same for almost 2,000 years. Around 155 AD, St. Justin Martyr explained the Mass to the pagan emperor Antoninus Pius in this way. On the day of the sun, he told Pius, Christians gather in the same place. The memoirs of the apostles and the writings of the prophets are read. When the readings are finished, the presider admonishes and challenges those gathered to imitate the beautiful things just read. The homily is followed by prayers of petition for those gathered and for all others. The kiss is exchanged. Then the presider is presented with offerings of water and wine and the bread over which he prays extensively. When the prayers are concluded, the deacons give to those present the consecrated bread and wine. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. By asking for spiritual communion, we are acknowledging that the Holy Mass is the perfect, best way to worship God. The priest intercedes perfectly for us with God the Father because he acts in persona Christi. This is the time to see that through the priest's representation of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, we are never separated from our Lord. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. When kids misbehave, it's common for parents to ask how they can stop the bad behavior. Usually the answer is some form of punishment. But punishment isn't a silver bullet. Sure, it might stop misbehavior for now, but it's not very effective in the long term. That's because it doesn't help kids heal the harm they've caused, and it doesn't give them the tools they need to handle things differently the next time. St. John Bosco had a better approach to discipline. He viewed discipline as a teaching opportunity, not a control problem. In his approach, parents coach kids through the process of healing the harm their behavior caused. And next, they help kids learn the skills and strategies they need to do better next time. St. Bosco's approach is called discipleship discipline because it treats kids as disciples or learners. It also reminds us of the loving way Jesus taught his own disciples. Discipleship discipline frees parents from being referees, constantly imposing penalties. Instead, parents coach kids through the hard work of improving their game. Discipleship discipline recognizes that parents and kids are really on the same team. To learn more about discipleship discipline, check out our book, Parenting Your Kids with Grace, or visit CatholicHOM.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled 911. We talk about facing those challenges in our life or relationships that we're not quite sure how to handle and maybe feel a little stuck dealing with. Let's help you find those effective, grace-filled solutions. 877-573-7825.
Before we go to our next caller, we want to send out some info for you on one of our great EWTN radio partners because they need to hear from you next week. Holy Family Radio, serving Michigan and Pennsylvania with three stations, kicks off their spring pledge drive on Monday.
So no matter where you live, make sure that you're supporting your local EWTN Catholic radio station, especially stations like Holy Family Radio if you're in that listening area. But wherever you are, however you're tuning in to EWTN Radio, make sure you're supporting that station with your prayers, for sure, but with your dollars as well. Let's keep EWTN Catholic Radio going strong so that we can keep supporting you in living your best, most faithful life. And we want to thank all the folks who make Catholic Radio possible, especially you, the listener, for all of your support.
Amen.
With that, we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Got a challenge you're facing in your life or relationships that you're not quite sure how to respond to? Let's walk through those steps of finding those grace-filled solutions together. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Kathleen, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio on Annunciation Radio.
Hey, Kathleen, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Good morning. Yeah, I'm dreading a conversation that I feel I'm kind of responsible for having with my daughter regarding confessions, because I have been grateful that she attends Mass weekly and is faithful, and I've talked to her about confession in the past, but she doesn't seem to think that it's that necessary or important. And now it's come to my attention that this is actually a precept of the church, that she should go to confession once a year during Easter time. And knowing that she's not positive attitude toward confession, I think how I present it is probably going to make a big difference. And I'm afraid maybe she might just stop going to church rather than...
Well, Kathleen, let me ask you a question. What kind of conversations about faith do you have with your daughter currently? Is this a topic that you guys discuss? Okay.
Not many. My kids don't seem to want to talk about faith. If I start a conversation, they kind of just go silent.
And when you say when you start a conversation, what's the kind of conversation that you have with them? Are you sort of trying to encourage them to do certain things, or what's the point of those conversations?
Like if I just talk about my experience or what I heard at church or what Father said, or they don't want to talk about those things.
But they do go to church, and
yes. They go. They feel a responsibility to go to Mass. Sometimes they don't go. They don't think it's a mortal sin if they don't go. But they go most of the time, and then it brings up the problem of, are they receiving communion in the right frame of mind? Is it heaping more sin on their soul?
I appreciate the questions that you're asking. I mean, you want to continue to be a mentor to your children, and I think that's a really important and beautiful thing. I think a lot of parents of adult kids just sort of give up on that idea, and I think it's important for us as parents of adult children to see how can I continue to positively influence my kids' faith development and their relationship with God and the church. But there are some principles you need to keep in mind here, and one of them is, The important thing is not saying something. The important thing is really asking, how will what I do or say land? How can I make sure that whatever I do or say actually has a positive effect, as opposed to pushing them away? As you're already thinking about, you know, you're thinking that I want to make sure that whatever I say has a more positive effect, or at least a neutral effect that doesn't push them away. And I think the best way to approach this would be to talk about your own experience going to confession and what you've gotten out of that experience, to not say, you know, hey, are you guys going to confession? Or to say, you know, why haven't you been to confession? But to say, you know, I went to confession the other day and it was a really beautiful experience. I was sharing this and this is what I got from that. And I really felt God's forgiveness and really felt like I got the strength to X, Y, or Z.
And you can even throw into that, hey, I went to confession the other day to make sure, because I hadn't, and you can be honest, because you need to be honest that you're not the fount of all wisdom either, right? So you can say, I didn't know that we needed to go to confession once a year, at least during Easter time. That really called me on to go. And when I went, this was a really wonderful experience for me, and this is what happened. And then leave it.
Don't say anything about, you know, and so you guys really need to be going, because as soon as you do that, they shut down. I mean, you're already saying that they're not really all that receptive to even you just sharing the positive stuff about your faith. But I think they would tolerate that a lot more easily than if you said, and you know, you guys, you really need to be going to confession because I know that you're not going. I think sharing that, I didn't know this, and this was really something that I was glad to learn about, and I was really glad that I was going to confession, and this is what I got out of that experience, and it was a really positive thing. And you just share that and leave it.
And change the subject. How are the kids? How was work this week? Yeah. Move on. Leave the nugget, the seed of, I hadn't known this, now I know this, now I've told you know this, and then just ask the Holy Spirit to guide those words into their hearts and minds and help them have a fuller conversion.
And that's really the best way to witness to anybody about anything, because as soon as we make it about them doing something wrong, people get defensive and they shut down. If we're able to share, this is what I did, and this is the positive experience I had with it, and this is why I want to do it more often. That's a lovely witness. That's a positive testament to the grace of God in your life, and that's an attractive witness that makes people at least, I mean, they might dismiss it in the short term, but they'll see you continuing to do it and continuing to talk about the good that you got from it, and they'll continue to see the fruit that it's bearing in your life. And that makes them at least think about going in a way that they hadn't thought about before. But if you present it in a critical kind of a way, in a way that says, well, you're doing something wrong and you need to change, especially if you're not used to having these kinds of conversations with your kids, then they're going to reject that, and that will push them away. We talk about this more in our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. One of the principles in that book is you want to make sure that the relationship is deep enough to contain the conversations you need to have, right? Because otherwise what ends up happening is you're pouring a gallon of milk into a shot glass, and that's going to leave a mess. And if you're not regularly having conversations about the meaning of life and faith and spirituality with anybody,
and their hopes and dreams and struggles, you hit the faith button and they're like, who do you think you are to get this close to me? Because faith is deeply personal and deeply challenges our sense of safety in some ways, because we have to look, you know, really deeply at ourselves. We need to feel a real trust and intimacy with someone who's going to say anything about faith to us. And so if you're not having those deeper conversations about other things besides faith, it's just going to be very intrusive.
Well, as you're alluding to, Lisa, there are different levels of intimacy, right? Mm-hmm. And if we, it's think of it as a swimming pool, right? If the shallow end of the pool is current events and just kind of talking about stuff that happened in the week, right? And then as you go a little bit deeper, maybe 1 foot deeper, is opinions, where we talk about just kind of the opinions we have about stuff and all that.
And when you're having those conversations, be careful that they're not opinions about things that you know are triggering, like politics or religion. Just, you know, opinions on anything that's not going to be really intense when you're starting out.
Well, because those conversations are like the deep end of the pool.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
So when we're talking about opinions, I mean, like, you know, do you like this color or that, or do you prefer this kind of restaurant over that kind of restaurant?
Right.
The more belief oriented questions aren't really opinions. Those are more kind of existential issues, and that's the 8 foot end of the pool.
Well put.
And if you're not used to swimming in that end of the pool with your kids, they're going to start to panic as you drag them out into the deeper water. Right. And so you have to be able to relate to them where you're at and build the relationship over time so that you can have those deeper conversations as best you can. In the meantime, you sharing your own experience about these things and talking about the positive experiences you've had with different faith practices is really the best way to witness to anybody. Like if you had that deeper conversation and you guys were talking regularly about your faith and where God was moving in your life and all that, then you could say, hey, you know, maybe you should get to confession. And they'd like be like, yeah, I guess it's been a while. You know, you're probably right. Let me pray about that. But that's not how this conversation is going to go, where you're at right now. Moving from the shallow end of the pool in your relationship where you're at right now to the deep water is just going to freak them out. And so the best thing you can do is really witness to the power of confession in your life and talk about what you've learned as it relates to you.
Briefly and positively, and how it relates to you, not them.
But it's not, but the thing that we need to keep in mind, okay, is it's not our job to convert anybody or even deepen somebody's conversion. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. And so it's our job to witness to the power of God's conversion in our own life and show people that it's not only possible to have a deeper conversion, but it's bearing good fruit in our lives. And the more we do that, the more people start to think, well, maybe I should welcome that gift into my life too. But if you approach them in a critical way, especially if you're not used to talking on this level, that is going to shut them down. So I'm not warning you off having the conversation. I'm suggesting here's how you can discuss these topics in a way that will either be neutral or positive, and enable you to be an instrument of God's grace. So work on deepening the relationship so that you can have more of these discussions. But in the meantime, share your own experience and how God is moving in your own heart. Thank you so much for the call, Kathleen. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here. I'm going to also encourage you to pick up a copy of our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult, Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. It really walks you through the steps of having all these difficult conversations and how to deepen the relationship with your adult kids so that it makes more sense to them and you to discuss these deeper topics so that you can be an even more effective mentor, spiritually and otherwise, to them moving forward from this point on. Thanks so much for the call, Kathleen. We're here for you if you need us. 877-573-7825. We're talking today about 911. We're dealing with those challenges that we don't know how to handle, that we need to call somebody to kind of get some new solutions, new tools, new insights. Well, give us a call at 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9.
We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed.
You know, in all of these things, you know, St. Paul is really talking about the importance of not going to that panicky place. You know, when we don't know what to do, or when we're not sure how this is going to turn out, it's very easy for us to spin out and start thinking, oh my gosh, you know, like Rachel Isaac was talking about in her segment, what if, what if, what if? And what St. Paul is really talking about is going to that even if place. You know, even if this happens, this is how God will be here for me. Even if that happens, this is how I can figure it out. Even if this occurs, this is how I can get the support and the grace that I need to move forward. And that's what stops us from going to that despairing place, that panicky place, that frustrated place, and allows us to persevere in the power of faith. Let us help you do that in your life in the face of your challenges today on More to Life. The number is 877-573-7825. We'll be back with more of your calls coming up in just a minute.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Steve and Janet Ray here, announcing we are back in the Holy Land, ready to introduce you to our favorite places in the world, the land where God walked. Mass at the most holy sites, pray the mysteries of the rosary where they happened, and experience the Bible in vivid color. We have led over 100 groups through this land, sharing the whole story of salvation. Of all the pilgrimages in all of the world, this is the one you should not miss.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, 911, as we talk about facing those challenges that we're not quite sure how to handle. Give us a call, and we'll help you find those faithful, practical solutions you're seeking.
Let's go to Cynthia, who's listening to EWTN Radio in New Jersey.
Hey, Cynthia. Welcome to More to Life. What's up?
Hello. I am happy to hear all of the wonderful information that you give us, and thank you for your kind service at the Eternal Word.
Thank you so much. What can we do for you?
Listen, I too am a family member of EWTN, and I'm only able to get through this time period because of the wonderful information and all of the beautiful people that share their God-given talent and the grace that is out there, and I'm very grateful. But I will cut to the chase. I have a young son who is 37. His birthday is on the 25th. He will be, he'll be 39, I mean. But here's the thing. He's profoundly disabled. My husband and I have been married for 47 years. I, unfortunately, did not know head injuries were this detrimental. But I feel like for the past 40 years, I am living with a man who has the mentality of a 13-year-old, and I'm over it. But you know, what do you do? Like, it's constantly...
I'm sorry, this
and
is
you're talking about your son, or on the board it says it's your husband?
My son is not the problem. My husband is.
So your son has the profound disability. What is the issue with
Correct.
Your husband?
My husband had a head injury at an early age, and a traumatic brain injury. And
okay.
We were married young. But I have been dealing with a verbally abusive person for my whole life in this marriage. But I have two older
okay.
girls. I have a beautiful family. And I can't seem to reach this mindset that I married.
I'm sorry, when you say reach the mindset that you married, what do you mean by that?
My husband doesn't get it. Like, you know, he was raised Catholic. He actually, you know, was an altar boy for the Latin Rite. But he's off. You know, he's totally...
Well, but you said he's had a serious head injury, and so his cognitive
correct.
Ability is limited, correct? And
well,
so what kind of
it appears that way?
Yeah. So what kind of medical help have you gotten for this? What kind of other support are you getting for this? Because he's not, if I'm understanding the situation correctly, he's not going to be able to reason and learn and even self-regulate the way somebody without a head injury would. And so it's going to be important to make sure that you've got that support around you to make sure that you're able to respond to him effectively and cope as well. But it sounds, so talk to me about that. What kind of support? Is he receiving medical care then?
I was wondering what you can do to help me deal with him. Hello?
Yeah.
We're here. Can you still hear us?
Okay. Yes, I just wanted to say, is there something, I actually work in the behavioral health unit, so I get it. You know what I mean? And I have
okay.
people all around me to help me. But I even have people come and talk to him, but he's set in his ways, and he's just a negative, mean person. I don't know. Like, I don't know where to go.
So what is it that you feel like you need at this point? Because you've been dealing with this for, what you said, like 40 years? You know, so what is it that you need at this point to deal with things that,
where do
that
you think I should go with this with him? Because I've tried everything. I can't.
Well, I don't know what you've tried. So when you say, when somebody says they've tried everything, that could mean anything. So
yeah.
So what? What I guess that's why I was asking what kind of
thing. And I definitely.
Sure, but so the, like, are you, is he working with a psychiatrist now? Do you have a counselor of any sort at all in your life? Like, what resources do you have currently to deal with this?
The resources I have currently is I do have priests that I speak to about this, and then again, the people from
they're not qualified to help you with this, though. So, and they'd be the first people to tell you that. So, look, if we're ever dealing with a problem like this, of course we need to talk to our pastor to get that spiritual
care is vital.
But they're not the kind of professionals that you need to be talking with, right? Your husband needs to be being seen by a psychiatrist. You need to be going to a counselor to be able to get this kind of stuff. Because, like, you know, talking to us for 3 minutes, I don't know the history. I can't possibly tell you what to do next. But, and it's a complicated enough issue with enough history here that you need to have somebody walking with you to be able to identify what your husband is capable of doing, what he's not capable of doing, what that means to you then in response to that. And that means more of a professional relationship with like I said, with a treatment team, right? So your husband getting psychiatric help and the medication that he needs to help control his behaviors if he's not able to self-regulate because of the brain injury, for you to be able to get that psychological support that you need to know what level of care he's going to need at this point, what level of care you're able to provide.
To be able to work with a good counselor who can walk you week by week through, okay, this is what happens, this is how he reacted, how can you, Cynthia, change your reactions to perhaps get a different reaction from him the next time and also feel safe and productive. There are things that you can be doing that will either shift his ability to react a little bit better or keep you in a much better place if he can't shift.
But, you know, you made the comment that you didn't appreciate how serious a head injury could be. And I don't think that you've completely wrapped your head around that yet. Because you're still saying you're trying to reason with him or you're having people come and talk to him about his behavior. And you know, if it's the kind of head injury that I'm thinking, then he's not going to be able to change his behavior. This is something that has to be managed, but not really changed. And that's important information for you to have, because the approach you've been taking right now is, well, if I can just have somebody else talk to him about something, then maybe he'll change his ways. He may not be neurologically capable of changing his ways, which is why we need to manage that behavior with medication, with behavioral support, with counseling for you. And so I need you to kind of really see this for the serious effect that it has on his personality, that the head injuries will have, and get the information that you need to be able to deal with it directly, as opposed to just sort of thinking you can work around it. Because at this point, I mean, like after 40 years or so of dealing with the head injury, you need to have a different approach than what you've been taking. So I understand that you've been in behavioral health care in some capacity, but I don't think you've been getting the right kind of resources or had the right mindset about it that would enable you to take full advantage of that. So I'm really encouraging you to get him hooked up with a psychiatrist, to get yourself in with a counselor who can work with that psychiatrist to help you, you know, have a treatment team to help you really learn to manage this more effectively moving forward. Cynthia, I hope that these suggestions will at least identify those next steps for you, because getting that outside help when you're dealing with kind of a chronic, serious problem like this is just so important. You cannot handle this on your own.
No, you can't. And please continue to go to a good priest that can be a spiritual advisor to help you really lock into the graces of what it's going to take to shift your mindset and your behaviors on this so that you can flourish more in this very difficult situation that you're in.
But realize that the support your pastor can give you,
it's
the spiritual and the sacramental
help,
support, is not counseling, and it's not psychiatric help. People think that talking to somebody is counseling. That is not what counseling is. Counseling is learning techniques and skills that enable you to create change. It's more than just support. So you need the grace from the sacraments, from the spiritual practices that will fill up your emotional tank. But as I always say, filling up the tank is one thing. If you got four flat tires, you're still not going anywhere, right? And so the psychiatric help, the counseling help, makes sure that you've got the structure in place to take advantage of the grace that you're receiving by talking with your pastor, doing spiritual practices, and taking advantage of the sacraments. So please do take better access of the professional support that is available to you. And thank you for the call. That's all the time we've got for today's program, folks. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you're dealing with a challenge that you're not quite sure how to handle, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. Let us hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, and personal life in the light of God's grace. That's CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there really is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
To Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.